Kyle Radke is my co-host all week long. And actually, this is so fitting because we have been talking about women for the first hour of this show. And joining us now, she, of course, is a humanitarian and a philanthropist on so many levels, but recently attended the 62nd session of the UN Commission on the Status of Women. And so I'm fascinated to find out, first of all, what exactly happens there and what she learned. Please welcome back to the show, Joan Kelly Walker.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I don't even know where to start. It was such a huge, huge honor for me to be there. There was very few members of the public like me. I was there as a guest of World Vision Canada, and there was 8,000 delegates that gathered for about 2 weeks in New York City at the United Nations, and they talked about all the women's issues that you could possibly think of. And of course, that includes a lot of, you have to include a lot of men in the conversation as well. So there was some really big topics, some really heavy topics that were covered. It was totally fascinating. And I come at it as, I guess you could call me a major donor. I'm a big supporter of charity. I'm a huge supporter of World Vision Canada. And it just really opened my eyes to the way that they do it, instead of looking at it from a donor, where you're always kind of criticizing and wondering, and how are they spending the money? And I've been very fortunate with them to go in the field several times to see how the money is spent. And this was really unique because it was a way for me to see how NGOs and governments actually do work together, and how NGOs and other NGOs work together. And by NGO, if somebody isn't clear on that, it's a non-government organization like a charity.
Right.
And that's really key is, you know, if you're creating data and you're gathering information, you're figuring out what the problem is. If you don't share that, then somebody else has to go through the same process. So if you share and you communicate, it really makes things go exponentially faster. And I was very happy to see that.
Well, one thing that I encourage people to do, no matter what industry they're even working in or, you know, what their hobbies are, is anytime you collaborate or you try to support other people, it's only going to enrich your own experience and help you. And I think that goes 1,000 times, I'm sure, for people who are trying to essentially change the world, right? Is you don't want to be overlapping each other. You want to be making sure you're covering all the needs that are out there.
Well, 100%. And there was one conference that I went to in particular that it was a whole panel of women, just coincidentally, but there was a lot of them. And everyone represented a different charity, a different organization. And the whole focus of their committee was, how do we work together the best way possible? And how do we really streamline that communication to really to benefit everybody and to actually make a huge difference as much as possible, as quickly as possible, to better the lives of women and children around the world?
I just want to go back a little bit for a minute because you know, you were saying that a lot of it is NGOs and then government work being done around the world. And you mentioned World Vision. Can you give us like a brief overview of what World Vision does?
Absolutely. And why don't I just give you an example? At the 10-year anniversary of the Rwandan genocide, I went on a trip that was a joint trip between World Vision Canada and another organization called Right to Play. And we ended up at this refugee camp at the border of the Congo and Rwanda. And there were children in there that were 10 years old that had been born in there, and that's all they ever knew. So World Vision goes in there, and all of a sudden there's hope created. That's not a great existence, but education is key to everything, and equal education for boys and girls, and quality of life is really important. So World Vision tackles all of those big, heavy problems like clean water, accessibility, accessing people that are in isolated rural areas, things like human trafficking and abuse and illiteracy and child marriage and FGM and equal pay for equal work and It's the support of what is needed at the time in the area.
Right. I think, you know what, a lot of people in North America, we don't really understand what refugee camps are. And I certainly didn't until I saw a documentary. And you suddenly realize, like, yeah, there's often very little infrastructure because it's supposed to be temporary.
Yes, exactly.
But 10 years later, there's still nowhere to move people. And so there's no school. you have to, like, someone has to take the initiative to set up a place where, okay, all the kids are going to go to this one place every day. And, you know, someone's got to teach them, and trying to make sure that, you know, beyond just the basic needs, and water obviously is a huge one, and food. Yeah, you want to make sure these kids are all learning to read and getting basic life skills so that hopefully someday they leave this camp and they're not left behind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a couple of stats that are really important that I just want to share with you because it's crazy. The world is witnessing the highest level of refugees and displaced people in the world since World War II, which is incredible. 75 Yikes. Million children and youth, predominantly girls, are out of school in 35 crisis-affected countries. So largely girls. And girls are 2.5 times more likely to be out of school than boys during crisis. So, you know, at the conference that I attended at the UN, they were saying, now, why is that? Why is it girls?
Is it...
How does that happen?
Is it the mentality that sort of girls take care
girls,
of
yes,
the needs
do a
more?
Lot of work. Girls often have child marriages. Girls do most of the child rearing.
And they don't, quote unquote, need education as much as boys?
Yeah.
I don't like
which,
of that.
You know, so there's a lot of thinking that has to change. And you know what's amazing is in Canada, we are hosting the G7 summit in June, which is incredible. And this is our chance to stand up and say, okay, we care about these issues. And there's a hashtag I want to share with everybody. It's hashtag MyG7. And you can contact Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, and just let him know that this is important to you. And that's something that you want him to really focus on at the G7 in June. So that's important. And you know, one other thing that happened in New York that I wanted to share with you, because I thought it was really interesting. First of all, our country was very, very well attended. We had Joel Lightbound is the minister. He's the parliamentary secretary to the Minister of Finance, which is incredible because Canada has just made a huge commitment to all of these issues. And that came from that ministry. We had our representative of the United Nations there. But one person that I talked to that really jumped out at me, I had never met her before, and it's not a political statement whatsoever, but Marianne Monsef is a Minister of the Status of Women in Canada, and she's also the MP for Peterborough and Kawarthas. And I thought it was really interesting that she had gone to her constituents and asked them, what do you want me to take with me? What do you want me to talk about at the UN on your behalf? And I thought, wow, that's really smart, because that's the people of Canada talking through our elected government officials. And I really enjoyed that approach that she had.
And what did she end up talking about? What did
They wanted her to talk about clean water and getting better internet out to rural areas, which affects a lot of people around the whole world.
Yeah. And it's interesting that in Canada we have people that don't have great access to clean water.
Yeah.
And
or good internet.
Exactly. And the internet is something that a lot of people still consider a luxury, which is kind of ridiculous when you think, how does anybody stay competitive in this world without it?
Exactly.
You know, schools incorporate it more and more. So if a kid goes home at the end of the day and to a family that can't afford the internet, they're screwed.
It's a huge disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of these issues that we sometimes think don't happen here at home. And most of them do. I mean, certainly not to the same extent, but if you look at, you know, last month, or it might have been February, oh my God, time flies, Jackie Marshallton from Global Citizen was on talking about female genital mutilation in Canada and the times that it happens here. And, you know, and again, clean water issues happen here. And so
education issues happen here.
Exactly. And so
kids go to school hungry here in Canada. There are a lot of issues that parallel other issues that are happening around the world, not just because we're so multicultural. I think some of it is geographical, and and poverty is at the root of every single one of these issues. You always find it. And that was a common thread through every speaker that I heard in New York.
And I think it's, and anytime we learn about these situations and we can help people elsewhere in the world, we're also learning important lessons for here at home as well. Mm-hmm. And because I know we do in this political climate right now, people often ask, but what are we doing for the people here at home? And I think it's just important to remind everybody, like, no, we have to deal with these issues here too. And, you know,
that's what's troublesome for me. And I'm hoping the G7 will help alleviate some of that. And Allison and I were talking earlier about everything that's being done for women's rights currently in this climate in North America. And we're barely able to scratch the surface using things like celebrity and social media. But here you're talking about 8,000 delegates from around the world doing this tremendous work. And I've heard nothing of it. You know what I mean? So what's being done?
That's why I'm here today.
And
I was so happy to be there. And I don't know how many like members of the public like me got to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was so fascinating and to be a voice. And I wish I was a better sponge and I could just bring it and share everything. But it was so in depth. And, you know, money is always a key thing that's going to help solve this, too. But a lot of people are, you know, worried. Where's my money going? But I have to say the people that I met there were so dedicated. They have a lot of them have committed their entire career to working on these issues.
Right.
And some of them were, you know, religious leaders. Some of them, it was, you know, their job working in NGOs for different charities. But, you know, you get a feeling for people and you can hear the heart in their voice and the caring in their voice and the small details that they really get into when they're trying to find a solution to make people's lives better.
So why, I guess what I'm trying to ask is why the exclusivity, sort of why isn't the public more involved? Like people like yourself who can help bridge that communication to Joe and Jane Average, who might not know because they're stuck to their Twitter feed and they're not getting this information.
Yeah, well, that's a very, very good question. I don't know. I really have no idea. Like, you know, there's a lot of celebrities that endorse a lot of charities and they're out there and they're tweeting and they're putting it out there. But does that get more attention and more traction than, you know, a fashion post or
right.
something?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, what are people interested in? People genuinely want help and they want to put their money out there or lend their support some way or another. But you have to do some legwork and you have to do your research and you have to, you know, pick a charity that really speaks to your heart. And it takes some time. It takes some work. And, you know, we're all kind of
That's funny. I've never thought of it that way. I've never thought of
really?
Research.
Well, no, how do you think of it then?
No, I just mean I've never put that level of researching a charity that I might not know about yet, just because I'm already giving to charities that mean something to me. So I just kind of pull the chute there and go, oh, well, there I go. I'm a good human being now. But you're absolutely right. There should be more responsibility on our part to search out good charities. Where
and
should my money be going?
And keeping people accountable. And also, you know, the government has to contribute as well, because if you're a donor and you're giving as much as you can and the government isn't matching, then you're feeling like, you know, I can't do this alone.
Right.
So we all have to work together. The government is a key component, and it's so amazing that our government has recently given such a big commitment in the federal budget.
Right.
And I think the other thing, too, is, Kyle, in terms of like why the UN doesn't open this up more. First of all, I think, you know, you can't have a pandemonium free for all in the audience. But also, people today do tend to want to learn everything in a meme or a minute long video on Instagram. And so it's a matter of, but I will say this, one of the ads that came up in mine was that the UN did decide that even if it's a child bride, because some countries were like, well, you can't get arrested for having sex with a minor or raping a minor if you're married to them. And the UN was like, nope, kids are kids. You don't get to do that. And so that did come up in a meme. And so I think some of this information is being disseminated in the way people acquire this information now. But the problem with getting your information from social media is that, again, it's targeted, right? So I don't know, like if you never look up empowered women stuff on Instagram, right, maybe that ad never goes to you. You know what I mean? But it's because that is the challenge. There's so many issues in the world today. Mm-hmm. And how do you get your issue into people's hearts and minds. And
this just seems so preposterously important.
I know.
And
but so many things
not
are
enough light on it.
Well, yeah. All of the delegates were the doers. They were the workers. They, you know, they're getting the word out there is not their job. They were there to actually like be in the field and getting the stats and communicating and doing all those really powerful, important things. So do you want to spend money to a charity so they can post it out?
Well, no, not necessarily, but a certain, this is the world we live in, right?
Yeah.
And when people associate whatever your product is, and I hate to think of a charity as a product, but ultimately you're wanting somebody to part with their money. I think that the promotion of that is very important.
Yeah.
And today, especially what Allison was touching on, people want it in 10 seconds. Give it to me. Give me the elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Like, well, I have, you know, hundreds of years of documented atrocities that have been happening. And maybe that's just it, nobody wants to learn. Getting back to what you were saying as well.
Well, you know,
no,
that's interesting because, you know, I mentioned the trip that I took to Rwanda, but I've also been to a whole bunch of other countries with World Vision, and I get so much out of it because I can make a donation and I can go and see. Like, I went to Cambodia last June, and my husband and I were the sole supporters of a campaign called the Starting Strong Program. And I don't know if you know very much about Cambodia, but they're still kind of recovering from a genocide 25 years ago, and a lot of women are very, very isolated. So they're giving birth in isolated conditions, and they, you know, they don't have camaraderie with other women, and there's a lot of fear. So a lot of these girls that I met, these young girls, I'm not even making this up, they don't know about safe nutrition. They don't know that what you eat affects your breast milk, which affects your babies. And so there was a lot of babies that had stunting.
Right.
Which means, you know, they're underdeveloped. And they use the exact same growth chart that we do here in Canada. But you can see some of these little babies are clearly not thriving. They're not responsive. They're very lethargic. They don't have good color. And if you can catch stunting before the age of 2, you can reverse it. But if you catch it later than that, there can be permanent physical or mental damage for this child. So, you know, so I had researched that this was a great thing for us to support. I took my family over there. I took my kids over there. I went into the community. I saw what World Vision is doing. I saw, you know, their approach. They're educating women to educate other women and to go out into the isolated areas and say, you know what, I heard you had a baby and here's what we're doing. And they used local readily available food sources to get all the nutrients that they need for the mother so that she can pass that on to her baby. So
that's,
I mean,
amazing.
That's just an example of one trip, and I've been to Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique. We supported this huge area development program, which is like a big 20 square mile thing that and there was pretty much no infrastructure there, and clean water was not really there. So of course the first thing they did was World Vision put in wells, and we were over there, and there was a bunch of, you know, we were horsing around with this well because it was really, really hot, and one of the guys was putting his head under, and, you know, we're splashing water at each other, and out of the corner of my eye I saw a little group of women kind of pushing one of them forward to act as their spokesperson, I guess, and she came to me and she said, thank you for the well, now I know my children won't die of waterborne disease. And you know what? I did my research, I wrote a check, I went to see it, and I'm here to be an advocate for World Vision and say, you know what, they're doing amazing work out there. And I don't work for them. This is just out of the goodness of my heart. I do support a lot of other charities as well, and I'm in a very fortunate position to be able to do that. And you don't have to do it on a huge, big scale either. You can, you know, you can do whatever you can to support your neighbor, do something locally within your community or within your city or within your country.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways to be charitable.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know, those decisions and that research that you do is really important. And
yes,
it makes a difference in the lives of people. And that's why we're all talking about equality and empowering women. Because, you know, let's face it, women and girls in this country have shaped the country we have today. And, you know, not that they need to get a big pat on the back or anything, but we all want to contribute. We all want to be independent, and we all want to feel safe, and we don't want to feel like we're being manipulated or taken advantage of. And that's something that we should be really focusing on in our country, in our province, and around the world.
Absolutely. And what is there at any point at the UN Commission on the Status of Women, is it all just sort of like different panels and presentations about different aspects that people are working on? Or at the end of it, are they like, okay, you know what, guys, status is not that bad? Or do you come out of it feeling like we have so much work to do, but we're hopeful, or yikes, we're in big trouble? What's the end result for you?
Well, if there was a victory to be celebrated, people would certainly mention it and talk about it. So that was really positive. But, you know, unfortunately, you have to talk about the bad stuff, because that's how you're going to make a difference. So it was all different conferences and different speakers and different expertise and different opinions all coming together, and they were all sharing it and discussing it, and there was audience participation, so you could ask questions, you could make a comment. It was pretty fascinating, and I was very happy to see that our Aboriginal women in Canada were very well represented as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Yeah.
You're wearing a green ribbon.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes. Well, as you may or may not know, I am from Saskatchewan, and this whole Humboldt tragedy has completely broken my heart and shattered my heart, because I know those people, I know the communities, I am, you know, I just, everybody feels for them. Anybody that's ever put their kid on a bus or anything.
Yeah.
It's such a tight-knit community out there, not only the hockey community, but, you know, from small town to small town to small town, there is there's a similarity, and there's a love. And anyway, so I'm wearing it very proudly today, and proudly standing up to support all of those people that are suffering.
I think one thing that's very important to take away from listening to you today is that it's important to help anywhere you can. Tiny differences can snowball into a huge difference in this
absolutely.
World.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that.
Yes, yay! Absolutely. It's the ripple effect.
I made a good point.
And whether it's and whether it's here at home or somewhere else in the world, the I think the important thing is to just get involved in some way. And also, you know what? Let's get involved and help people to also honor the people that we've lost.
Yes.
Right? And because life is fragile, mm-hmm. and it's really short, and I know sometimes we think it's a long time, we have to protect what's ours, but it's actually shockingly short.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
I can tell you, I have two boys in the same age group, and boy, did I ever hug them hard last night. Yeah.
Absolutely. Joan, honestly, what is happening with season two of Real Housewives?
Oh,
is it
my
happening?
Goodness.
Are we getting it? Just before we let you go, I have to
what
ask.
Have you heard?
Well, this is what I'm concerned
what
about is that
heard?
I'm not hearing stuff.
Ooh.
But
what
I
have
feel
you heard,
like
Kyle.
I've heard nothing.
I feel like the way you're reacting is like maybe.
I've heard nothing.
You know what? If I knew anything, I couldn't tell you anyway. And if I don't know anything, I can't say.
All right.
Anything.
All right. Okay.
Because I
you
don't know
what,
it.
Though?
I
feel hopeful. I feel hopeful. I feel hopeful.
What I'm hearing is yes, for sure. Take it to the bank.
I wouldn't go there.
It's just my interpretation.
Okay. You know what?
Who knows?
We're going to start a tweet campaign. Well, Joan, thank you so much for joining us. And I know, I think it's so great the amount of work that you do and the attention that you're bringing. And so I do really appreciate.
I'm doing something. And that's the thing. Everybody can make a difference. Just do something.
Absolutely.
Something, anything.
Absolutely. And, you know, as Kyle was saying, we didn't even know that this commission on the status of women happened, let alone that it's the 62nd time it's happened. And so, yikes. And so, yeah, the fact that you were able to go and then able to come and talk to us about it, we're always so happy to see you no matter what the topic is, but this is obviously such a very important one. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
And everyone, tweet about Real Housewives of Toronto. Can we get season two, please? God. Joan Kelly Walker, always so lovely to see you.